It's been wonderful so far. It's good to see you in the house of God this morning. You've started the week out exactly how God wanted you to, and that's in His house. And we're grateful to have you. What a blessing it is to be able to come and be able to gather together and worship God in spirit and truth and freedom. As Americans, I feel like, I know I do, we highlight around the 4th of July and maybe a couple other holidays throughout the year, we highlight how good God has been to us and allowing us to worship Him freely. But boy, we ought to never get past the fact, it should never get old to us, that we're able to come out from among this world and freely be able to bring our Bible, come sit in the house of God with the people of God and worship Him. Well, that's a true privilege, and it does not have to be that way. God has blessed us beyond measure, and we are privileged people, and boy, I thank Him for it. But I want you to take your Bible with me this morning. Go to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. It's already been mentioned, but I want to say it again. Please be in prayer for us as we get ready to head out in the morning, Lord willing, headed up toward Kentucky, Ohio area. This is going to be a two-pronged trip, one being to take our young people and hopefully, prayerfully, continue to fan the flame that God has already begun that work in their hearts back at camp. And it don't take long for this world to try to blow those fires out and cool them down. But I thank God for all that He done at camp in our youth group, saving souls and bringing our youth group together and doing a work in their heart. And then secondly, it's always good to see people saved and God moving in their life, but a direct result will always be, if God moves and if God touches, a direct result will always be service will follow. And so we're going to have a good time. We're going to bring our youth group together, get away from the everyday minutia of life, and to go up there and have a good time seeing the Ark and the Bible Museum. That'll be wonderful, be educational as well. But we're also going to serve, and we're going to be working at the Track League Ministry. And I mentioned that a few weeks ago, but this ministry has printed and published over 7 billion tracts around the globe. And so pray for us as we go to serve, and that God would take those tracts that our young people, your children, grandchildren, my children, that those tracts will get to where they should be and where they're supposed to be. God already knows the heart that will receive the Word of God, the gospel. And so the Bible still says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And so pray for those tracts that they will land right in the lap of the people that need them most. Gospel of Matthew chapter 14. And I want to encourage you to be back this evening. We will be having youth choir practice at 5 o'clock this evening. Brother Noah Fowler is going to be leading the choir. He's doing a tremendous job. And he'll be leading the choir, and the choir, youth choir will be singing this evening during the service. So all you young people, get here, be here. Parents, help us. Help us get your children here. And if anybody needs a ride, if you'll let us know, we'll take care of that. But don't miss the service tonight. Let me bargain with you for a minute. I've got a pretty long message, several points, But if you'll promise to come back tonight, I will break off a piece of it this morning and give it to you, and we'll come back tonight and get the rest. How about that?
Amen.
Well, I was being nice. You could at least respond. Shake your hand. Yeah. Let's stand. You've been seated a while. We'll honor God's word as we read. Gospel of Matthew chapter 14, verse 44. If you're there, say amen. If you're here, say amen.
Amen.
I'm sorry. Okay. If I say the right thing, say amen. 1344, I'm sorry. The Bible says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to the treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. And I want to preach on the subject this morning. Every treasure has a field. Every treasure has a field. Now in the text this morning we see and read a couple of times the word treasure and field. They're right there in the verses we read. And sometimes a gift ain't all that great. Sometimes a gift ain't even that good. We didn't get to have it this past year, but you all recall at Christmas time we always gather out in the Family Life Center and make that humongous circle, and then right in the middle around the Christmas tree, and there'll be just present after present, some big, some small. But the point in that is all those presents are not good. They're what we call gag gifts, and I have got some crazy stuff out of that pile before. And when I was thinking about gifts, and not all gifts are great, but some gifts become very special and very wonderful, not because of the gift itself, but because of the giver who gave that gift. And if you're a parent or a child, you may have one gift that you can look back over and all the Christmases or birthdays or whatever, and there's one thing that sticks out above anything else, and it may not necessarily be what it was, but you remember that bond and that person who sacrificed to give you that gift. And I won't go into detail because it hurt more than it helped, but I remember one Christmas, we were living over off of 150 down the road, and it had been a rough year. Money was hard to come by, it seemed. Now, I was a child. Living with my mama. And Billy Jack and Bobby, and we kept asking what we was getting for Christmas, and I could tell the hurt in her eyes, and she just didn't have it to give. It seemed like she put on a good show, and she kept giving short answers and little cheap trinkets and stuff, and so Christmas Eve rolled around, and we'd all go to bed and wait till Santa Claus come, you know the drill. And so I think it was about 2 o'clock that morning. I finally heard the stirring, lay down, and no more noise. So I knew I could get up and go see what little trinket she had bought. And I walked in the living room that morning, and she always had them in piles, one pile for Bobby, Billy Jack, and me. And I looked around, and Bobby had a big old TV and a Nintendo set and all kind of stuff. I mean, it was a big pile. And I looked over there at my pile, and it wasn't nothing but one little old motorcycle helmet. I was ticked off. I said, He got a TV and a Nintendo and all this stuff. And I know I was bad this year, but I mean, at least give me coal if you're going to go all the way out. Give me. I saw that. I couldn't make sense. Why would she give me a helmet? I mean, is that like a down payment? I owe you? She'd already told us how broke we was and couldn't do nothing big. And out of all the Christmases, she had worked and worked overtime all year and saved and sacrificed. And I took that helmet with disbelief, and I looked around. I said, surely there's got to be more. And I walked out and I looked at the door on the garage, and there was a brand new motorcycle, red Kawasaki motorcycle. And that was the biggest present I had ever got in my life. And I loved the motorcycle, but way more than the gift was the giver. And I knew what she had to sacrifice to make that possible. And you parents understand that as well. So with the treasure in the text is a gift. And the field that we read about is a type or a picture of the world. And Matthew chapter 13, verse 38, the Bible says the field is the world. So we don't have to study too deep. I mean, it's right there in the text. The field is the world. So the Bible's saying to us there's something of value, a gift, a treasure that's in this world, in this crooked and perverse generation. There's something wonderful in the midst of this ugly field. And boy, you don't have to look far and look long in 2021 to understand this world we're living in is an ugly place. It has got just terrifying. Evil is abounding, sin is everywhere, and this world will depress you if you stare at it too long. But God's letting us know, in the midst of a crooked world, in the midst of this field called planet Earth, there's treasure in the field. And so I want to look at that this morning. And I'll say this, when I say the word and speak of the word, the world, I'm not referring to this mud ball called planet Earth. I mean, I love the world. I love planet Earth. How many of you have seen that show, Planet Earth? It's pretty amazing at the Creator, the God of heaven, and how detailed and how just mind-boggling all the creation of God is. It's amazing. I love this world. I love seeing a sunset. I love seeing a sunrise even better. I love the ocean and the coastline. I love way more the mountains. It's not even close. I tell you what I really love, Brother Josh. I love getting a view of this earth, of this field, Brother Steve, from about 30 or 40 feet up in a tree. I love that view of this field and this earth. But we're not talking about, when we talk about the field or the world, we're not talking about the physical earth, but we're talking more so in type as God is. The earth or this field can be an amazing place, but the world and the world system can be an ugly, ugly place. As beautiful and breathtaking as planet Earth can be, the world and the world system and what makes the world go round can be vicious and ugly. But tucked right in the midst of all of that, God is letting us know there's treasure in the field, and every field has a treasure. So before we cuss it all and just give it all over and say it's not worth anything, God's letting us know there is treasure in the field. I want to look at a few of those, probably look at two this morning if we get that far. Ain't you glad to know, as speaking of the world system and how ugly and how vicious and mean and dirty and low down this world is, the field is out there. Ain't you glad that it ain't gonna always be that way? there's still a God in heaven who sits on the throne and who has promised us that he has given the devil a time and a frame where he can come and make a mockery and do all the wicked and evil and sow all the seeds of sin that he can. But there is still coming a day when God's going to come back to this earth and he's going to set up his kingdom and he's going to sit on the throne of David and he will rule and reign and he will bring to naught all that the devil has done, and he will make sure that he has the final say and he will rule this world. I say hallelujah. Don't give up hope yet. God ain't finished. And I know the political scene looks terrible and terrifying, and America looks like it's going down, and it is. But God will make sure that he sees us through, and I thank him for that. There's coming a day when the lamb will lay with the lion, when the child can pick up the adder and the asp and play with it. Now, I'll just insert this right here. Whether it's during the millennial reign or not, whether they have fangs or poison, Brother Bobby, I could care less. I ain't touching one even in the millennial reign. 10 million years from now, I still won't like them things. But that day's coming, and God's going to set straight everything that the devil has made wrong. So let's look this morning. Number one, the treasure of conversion. The treasure of conversion in the field of flesh. And if this is all we get to this morning, hang with me just a few minutes, and I won't keep you long, but get this one. A treasure of conversion found in the field of flesh. Wouldn't you agree it's a treasure to be saved? I mean, it is a wonderful gift. What a treasure to be converted, to be born again, to be saved by the blood of the Lamb. Greatest gift you could ever receive, the greatest treasure you could hold on to today is the fact that if you have ever bowed your knee and bent your heart toward the God of heaven, the same God I just spoke of who created the heavens and the earth, the same God who has all power in heaven and in earth, the thrice holy God, the God that's sitting on the throne when the angels and the seraphims and cherubims are crying nonstop, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, holy. That great big God, the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, that God is the same one, the God of creation is the same one who is the God of conversion. And boy, I thank God I'm saved this morning. Amen. What about you? Are you saved? If you ain't, it ain't God's fault. If you're not saved this morning, you'll never be able to point a finger at God and say, well, I would have if you had to just come and dealt with my heart. And if you would have saved me, listen, God's done. What are you waiting on this morning? What? God has already done everything he's going to do. Matter of fact, he's done everything he can do. And just in the text, if you'll look again, the Bible says in verse number 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You know what that pearl of great price is? That's the church. That's the body of the blood-washed children of God, the redeemed. And God's saying to us, he was likened to a merchant man who went out and searched and found that lost treasure. And not only did he find it, but he was willing to find that pearl of great price and to buy it. He sold all that he had and bankrupt heaven so that he could purchase you. Amen. What a Savior. What a God. I'm saying in the field of conversion, the treasure of conversion is found in the field of flesh. Now, when the Lord saved you, you immediately become two people. Now, I don't have to remind you of that this morning, Brother Jackie. Your old man woke up with you this morning. God didn't save him. God didn't save your flesh. And God didn't save my flesh. And when you got saved, you went from being one to being two. And thank God there's coming a day when we will lay this old body of flesh down and when we will have to face ourselves, that old man, never again. He will finally be planted and put in the ground and put in the grave, never to bother, never to hinder us again, never to let God down again. That's coming. But until then, we'll have to go on and serve Him best that we can, understanding we are two people. That's right, there's two of you now. The new man and the old man. The new man loves God. He loves the things of God. He loves the Word of God. He loves the house of God. That's right. But when the new birth came, it did not eradicate the old man, the flesh. It's still here. Again, I don't have to convince you of that. That's that one that you fight with all the time. That's that one that has the tendencies to go back to the field. That's the one that has the desire to go contrary to the things of God. You battle him. Listen, you may have problems this morning. You may want to point a finger and say, well, the church could be better if, and if the church did that, we would be. Listen, your problem ain't the church this morning. Matter of fact, your problem ain't me this morning, and my problem ain't you. You may tell you who my problem is? It's that man I wake up and shave in the morning when I decide to do so. It's that man who greets me every morning. That's my biggest problem. It's that old man that I've been lagging around and toting around for the last 44 years of my life. And that's your greatest problem and nemesis. So we see the treasure of the new birth found in the field of the old Adamic nature. What do I mean by that? Tells me and lets me know I'm going to have problems. That old Adamic nature is still there and thriving and living. And as every day that I live, he lives. And so there are going to be problems. There's going to be fights and battles. And we're going to have problems. One of the greatest blessings and promises about going to heaven is I'm going to lose that old man one day. It ain't going to be this way forever. Thank God. Do you ever fail the Lord? And wish that you didn't? Do you ever get sick and tired of falling short? And do you ever just wring your hands and maybe tears come out your eyes and you say, not again, Lord. I failed you again. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. I hate that I've done this, but it's that old Adamic nature. It's that old self, that old man that you've been lugging around that gets so wearisome and so heavy to carry that around and to carry that flesh around. And it breaks my heart to hurt him. It breaks my heart to fail him. But time and time and time again, I find myself falling short. Who causes that? Yeah. It ain't the new man. No, that new man's as saved can be. That new man's as righteous as Christ himself. Amen. It's that old man that we have to fight and war with on a daily basis. But heaven, thank God, will fix it all. Amen. Amen. Ain't you looking forward to the day? I'm talking about the treasure of conversion found in the field of disobedience. Ain't you glad? Listen, there's coming a day when you will truly get to bury that guy. That's one funeral I want to attend. Amen. I will celebrate the death of that man. I'm going to get rid of me one day. And you're going to get rid of you. You know what I'm going to say? Good riddance. Nice knowing you. I won't miss him. I won't miss him a bit. I've been dragging me around for 44 years. On September 21st, I will have been dragging me around for 30 years. In just a short period of time, I will have been saved. I've done the math on this morning. Blew my mind. 30 years I will have been saved come September the 21st. And I had no idea what I was lugging around and the weight that I was lugging around until September 21st, 1991, when God come to me and confronted me and convicted me. And I said yes to God, and He said yes to me, and He reached down and saved me and converted me. And that converted my soul. That made me fit for heaven. That gave me my ticket out of here. But it did not convert me, the flesh. Somebody said, "Well, ain't you supposed to crucify yourself daily? Have you ever tried to crucify yourself?" It's impossible. You can't crucify yourself. It's physically impossible. I mean, you may nail the one hand and nail the feet, and then there you are. How are you going to get that one? You say, "Oh, well, we'll take that one back out and we'll nail this one." Nail the feet, and then there. You can't do it. You cannot crucify the flesh. No more than I can. And none of us can. And the Bible does, Paul said, "I die daily." But he didn't crucify himself daily. It was said like this: "I die daily, but I'm having trouble burying myself." Yeah. Just as soon as I die, it's like that old man resurrects and he's up again and he's at it again. There's coming a day when we will die for the last time and we will bury the old man. What a day. I'm simply saying I'm still having to drag myself around, but thank God there's coming a day when it's going to be all treasure and no field. The treasure is the converted man. The treasure is the new man. But there's coming a day when the old man will be finished and done. There'll be no more of him. There'll be no more fighting and battling with the old man. And I will truly trade the old cross for a crown. There's coming a day, and it's going to be sooner rather than later. But praise God, there is coming a day where there will be no more fields. I'm talking about treasure in this field, and how every field has a treasure. We all celebrate the treasure. The treasure is conversion. The treasure is salvation. But it's found in the field of sin. Remember where you was when God found you? He didn't find you saved and redeemed and holy in the house of God. No, Jesus said, "I come to seek and to save that which was lost." He came and found us when we were at our worst. He came and looked for us. And as the old song says, "He knew me ere he loved me ere he knew me." He knew me when I was at my worst, and He still loved me. That's the treasure. But He found us in the field of sin. And there's coming a day when there'll be no more fields. There'll be no more sin. It'll only be treasure. It'll only be that wonderful truth that God saved us. And while the ages roll on, we will stand and shout and sing the praises to the Lamb of God who loved us and gave Himself for us, who was willing to come and search for us in that wicked field called sin and convert us. There's times I want to do something for the glory of God, and my heart's desire is to bring glory to God. Don't you? Don't you want to bring glory to Him? Don't you want to serve Him and your life have meaning and purpose and amplify the goodness of God and shine a light on the glory of God and let sinners in this wicked dark world in the same fields that we were found in to cast a light that direction and say, "Hey, there's a God in heaven who came to that field and found me, and He found the treasure in those dark fields." I want to bring glory to God. The reason I'm up here preaching this morning is not for a paycheck. It's not for popularity. It's not for prestige. The reason I'm preaching this morning and in the house of God is one reason, and that's to bring glory and honor to the God of heaven, because He found me and converted me in my field of sin. He saw a treasure in me when nobody else did. You say, "Well, you ain't worth 2 cents. Probably true in and of myself, but God saw treasure in me. He was willing to pay full price. He's willing to give his only begotten son. So be careful when you tell people you ain't worth nothing. God thought they were. Yeah, I want to bring glory to God. That's my heart's desire. But out of nowhere grows a thorn. Out of that field of sin, when I want to, if you're saved, you want to bring glory to God. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
But the reality is, out there in that same field where he found us, they're still growing wild weeds and ragweeds and thorns and thistles out of our old life, out of the same old field. And right about the time we want to lift a hand toward heaven and shout toward God and sing for Him and serve Him and praise Him and preach for Him and teach and fill in the blank and do something to testify, witness of Him. Have you ever noticed that's when the thorns dig in you the most? That's when the weeds of the world wrap themselves around you and make you think, and that's when the old accuser will come and say, you're not worthy. You know how you lived yesterday. Why are you going to tell somebody about Jesus? They're not going to hear from you. I'm saying simply this. The more we want to bring honor and glory to God, the thicker the thorns get, and the more wild the weeds grow and try to stop us and hinder us from bringing glory and honor to Him, because the devil knows we do have a field and we come from a field, and he will use every weed he can to stop us from letting the world see the treasure that God has found. I wrote this down. I thought it was good. We do have weeds growing in our fields. We do have briars and things that will hurt and harm us and keep us from growing and bringing glory to God. But ain't you glad for the heavenly bush hog? Ain't you glad that it don't have to stay wild and grown up, and that the God of heaven knows how to come down your lane and pull out the heavenly bush hog and mow those things down and detach them from you? And those things that had you wound and bound, God can detach you from that. God can cut that away from you and cut that off of you and separate you so that you too can bring glory as the treasure that He found and purchased. It ain't God's will that we lay out in the field covered up by sin and covered up by leaves and all the things that the devil... No, God wants to elevate you. God wants to raise you up and cut the things off of you that's holding you back. God wants to do that, and God will do that. You know how? I'll tell you how. By His Word. Look. Some of our treasure has been buried so long and is so covered up and matted over that we forgot that it was even there. And your family, sometimes we allow the weeds of this world to grow over us in such a way that our own family and our own friends have no idea that there's a treasure even still there. That ought to bother us. Bible says we are the light of the world. We ought not to let our light be hid. It ought to shine.
Yeah.
But oh, when the things of this world that grow in the field covers that up and darkens and dims our light, I thank God He's got a way. He knows how to detach us and to do whatever it takes to cut us free so that we can shine and bring glory. See people as the treasure that they really are. The treasure is in the field, but if you let the field grow up and go unattended, it will hide the treasure. When we allow the weeds of the world to grow in our field, we become blind to the treasure, and we're, nor anybody else can see it. Thanks be to God for the treasure of conversion. Hallelujah. We have riches in Christ. I was useless, worthless. But God, through Christ, enriched me.
Yes.
No, I wouldn't label myself as a treasure prior to Christ.
Amen.
But thanks be to God now that He's in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I used to be worthless. I used to be hopeless. I used to wouldn't turn a head for nothing. But Christ in me, now that makes me a treasure. And if Christ is in you, you too are a treasure. That's why the devil's trying to stop you and tarnish you. God wants to brighten you up and let you shine for His glory. And the devil's trying to tarnish that and dim that. Next time the devil tells you you're worthless and nobody loves you, just remind him, Jesus does. He died for me. He found me in the field of my sin. He loved me. He gave His all for me to purchase me. So you are not worthless. You are loved. Amen. The treasure of conversion is found in the field of my flesh. As I said earlier, the person I have the most problems with is me. I am my own problem. I don't have to convince you this morning, but do you know there's part of you that you never going to get to love God? When God saved us, when He converted us, He didn't save the flesh. He didn't save that old man, and please get this, that part of you, you try as you may, pump and prime as much as you want, you never going to get that man to want to read that Bible. You never going to get that old man, your flesh, to want to rise up on a Sunday morning and go to God's house. He's always going to be contrary to that. He's always going to be against that. He's always going to have a negative thing to say about that. Whether it be praying, whether it be reading your Bible, whether it be coming to the house of God, he does not want nor like the things of God. But that new man, that treasure in earthen vessels, that man that God saved, that treasure that God has converted, he does. He will rise up and salute and want to go to the house of God and read the Word of God and witness about the God who saved him. And there's the battle. And that's the one that we got to give in to. That's the one that we got to give way to and let Him shine, not the old man. Some people say, I can't wait till I live long enough to where I don't have to deal with that man no more. You ain't going to live that long. You can live 1,000 years, and that old man's still going to be living. It takes death to put him away. Well, we got one. I'm going to give you the rest of the outline, and we'll come back this evening and look at it. Every field has a treasure. The treasure of conversion in the field of flesh. Number two, the treasure of consecration in the field of failures. We'll look at that one this evening. And then the treasure of the church in the field of faults. I'll say more about that this evening, but this is not a perfect church. Matter of fact, there is not a perfect church. And if you think you find one, please do not join it. You will ruin it. This church is full of faulty people, I being the first in line. But God saw it as a treasure. So much so that He purchased it, bled for it, died for it, and He's coming back for it. Amen. So the treasure of conversion in the field of flesh, the treasure of consecration in the field of failures, the treasure of the church in the field of faults, the treasure of a companion in the field of falling apart. Say, what do you mean by that? Don't marry somebody because how they look, because it's going to wither away and fall apart. You better marry somebody because of the treasure that they are, not the field you found them in. Amen. Then, finally, we'll look at the treasure of children in the field of foolishness. We could all just say amen right there, children are foolish. not all the time, but all children are foolish. Yes, yours too. Foolish, but you know what they are? They're treasure. Way more so than any career. Hey, we're leaving, but please hear this. There is no job you can have that's worth spending all your time away from your children. So you can buy them more and give them more and make them popular and give them a lavish lifestyle. Won't you give them you? Because they're the treasure. Because we're going to blink one day and they'll be gone and you'll realize what a treasure you had and now it's gone. The job ain't the treasure. The house ain't the treasure. No, your companion and those children, that's the treasure. Value that treasure. Protect that treasure. Amen. All right, we're going to close right there. Stand with me. We'll come back this evening and get deeper into it. I hope you'll come back. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, God, for converting me. Oh, God, for seeing a treasure in me when nobody else could or would. Lord, you came to the field where I live, God, and you found me, redeemed me, saved me, God. I thank you for that. I pray, God, if there's anybody here lost today, still out in the field alone, covered up by the muck and mire of this world, weeds choking them out, thorns grabbed hold of them. God, I pray you'd deliver them today. May this be the glad day, Lord, they'll say yes to you, no to sin, and God, that you'd redeem them and convert a lost sinner today. God, I ask you, Lord, that you would touch us now, God. Lord, I pray you'd go before us now, make the crooked places straight. God, give us all a good day, Lord, of rest. I pray you'd help us all, Lord, to spend time with our family. God, to see the treasures you've truly given us in our church, Lord, with our companions, our children. Lord, you've been so good to us, Lord. And I pray, God, you would help us now as we close this service, Lord. I pray, God, again, if there's anybody lost, would you save them, deal with them, Lord, draw them by your power. God, we'll be glad to help them any way we can, Lord. If there's somebody straying from you, may this be a time, God, of reflection, Lord, where they'll turn, look to themselves, look at themselves, God, and then look to you. God, I pray you'd set them free this morning. We love you, Lord, and thank you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you can look this way. If I can help you any way after the service, I'll be honored to.